Picnic Island, written and read by Louise. Every summer, the children of Long River spent their holidays on Picnic Island. To get there, they had to row out into the middle of the river in a small boat. They would take bags crammed with food, cordial, swimming gear, and a few comics to read while they lay on the sand in the sun. The days passed lazily and dreamily. There was a small wooden hut in a patch of bush on the centre of the island. There they stored shells, leaf collections, dead insect specimens, and a stack of firewood for barbecues. Sometimes 10 or 12 children would come. If the boat had already been taken across, they would stand on the bank and yell till someone came back to get them. Only 4 people could fit into the boat at once, and this meant that sometimes 2 or 3 trips had to be made. One day, the Moore family decided to visit the island for a picnic. Joe, a strong boy of 12, held the boat steady while Jane, his 10-year-old sister, held the bags, and Sarah, a small 7-year-old girl with long red hair, stepped in first. Neil was only 5 and had just started school, but he liked to copy things his big brother did and helped Joe row the boat. Helped by the downstream current, they reached the island in 20 minutes. Joe tied the small boat to the pole in the water while the others climbed out onto the sand.
"That's funny," said Jane.
"There are big footprints leading down to the water. Someone must have been here. I didn't think grown-ups came here much." "Probably someone's father came to fix the roof of the hut," said Joe. "Those footprints look fresh."
"Well, anyway," said Sarah, "there's no one here now, as the footprints go down to the water. I'll go and put our things in the hut, and then we can have a swim." The water was cool and refreshing. The children splashed and swam and jumped off the rocks till they were tired out, then lay down on the warm sand to get dry.
"I'm hungry," said Neil.
"Okay, I'll get the basket while you choose a place for us to sit," Jane called out as she ran up the beach to the hut.
"That grassy patch by the big rocks looks all right," Sarah said, running towards it. She stopped suddenly. "Hey, Joe, look at this."
Joe ran over to look where Sarah was pointing.
"Someone has recently had a fire here. Look, it's still smouldering.
It looks as if someone has been burning some old clothes between these big rocks, where the fire couldn't be seen from the shore." Jane had come back with a basket and stood staring at the fire.
"You know, I think someone slept in the hut last night," she said. "Blankets are out on the stretcher, and there are dishes on the table."
"Let's search the island," said Neil excitedly. "But I want my lunch first."
They sat down and ate hastily, as they were keen to start searching.
"Maybe it's a pirate," said Neil.
"Don't be silly," replied Sarah. "I think someone has run away from home to live here."
"Where are they now, then?" said Jane.
"I think it was just an overnight camper."
"I suppose someone could have found our boat on the shore, rowed over, stayed the night, and then taken the boat back in the morning," said Joe. "The footprints in the sand led down to the mooring pole. So I think whoever it was has probably left the island. We might find clues, though, if we have a good look around. Neil and I will look in the bush, and you girls could look around the beach and the rocks."
It was dark in the bush as they left the sunlight, with Joe leading the way along the track they knew so well. It was muddy and slippery, as had been recent heavy rain, and they were careful not to leave the track, as it would have been very easy to get lost in the dark, tangly undergrowth.
"Hey, look at this, Neil," Joe shouted suddenly.
"Footprints.
Someone must have tripped over this log and slipped down the bank. Look, there's the skid mark all the way down."
"I can see something shining down there,"
Neil pointed to the bottom of the bank.
"What is it?"
"I don't know," Joe answered excitedly.
I wonder if I could climb down there and get it. It's pretty slippery, Neil warned.
I'll grab hold of the bushes at the side.
Look, our mystery man must have clambered up the side there, where the undergrowth is torn out.
It only took a couple of minutes for Joe to get to the bottom of the bank and pick up the object.
It's a watch, he said in a hushed voice. A man's gold watch. It's a good one, too. Help pull me up, Neil.
With the help of some punga branches and Neil's hand, he was soon back on the track.
I wonder why he came along this track, Joe said, puzzled.
Maybe he was looking for the path to the hut, Neil thought.
Joe! Neil! Here, quickly!
They could hear the girls shouting at them.
Come and look what we have found!
The boys turned and started back the way they had come, tumbling in their haste. As they came down onto the beach, they saw the girls way down past the rocks. Jane was waving something at them that looked like a big cloth. As they ran closer, she shouted, It's a shirt! A man's shirt!
It looks like a striped football jersey, said Joe.
Where was it?
Just down there between the rocks, said Sarah.
It's half burnt. It must have blown away from the fire.
We found something too, said Neil, jumping up and down with excitement. A man's watch.
Someone tripped over a log and fell down a bank in the bush, catching his watch on the undergrowth.
It's a wonder he didn't miss it, said Jane.
Perhaps he couldn't find it. It's very dark in there, Joe answered thoughtfully.
I want to go home, said Sarah, shivering. This is spooky. I don't like the idea of a strange man on our picnic island.
What shall I do with the shirt? Jane asked.
Just leave it there, said Joe. Perhaps he will come back for it.
I'll take the watch, though, and go to the police station to see if anyone has reported it missing. That way we may find out who the stranger is.
The children walked slowly and thoughtfully back to the boat.
Joe and Neil rowed while they all sat in silence, thinking about all the clues they had found.
You know, said Jane, I don't think anyone is going to report that watch missing.
Not when they lost it on the island.
Just what I was thinking, replied Joe. I bet whoever it was will come back and look for it himself.
He'll probably come back again tonight to sleep, said Sarah.
Joe's face lit up as if he had suddenly had an idea. But he just rowed on silently till they reached the shore. They all decided not to let the grown-ups into their special mystery, as somehow that would spoil all the excitement. That night, after they had all gone to bed, Joe lay awake listening for his parents to go to sleep. It seemed as if they would never turn their light out. They did at last. He waited a few minutes to make sure, then quietly crept downstairs. He was just about to open the front door when he heard the stairs creak. He slipped into the shadows.
It's me, whispered Jane. I guessed what you were up to. I'm coming too.
Well, be quiet then, Joe whispered back. Secretly, he was quite pleased to have company. Just as they were about to shut the door, it was pushed open from inside.
Where are you going? Said Sarah in a hushed voice.
To Picnic Island, said Jane. But you're not coming.
Yes, I am, said Sarah, and stepped out the door, pulling it quietly behind her.
Oh, all right then, but stick close to us.
Is Neil asleep?
Yes, dead to the world, said Sarah.
Okay then, said Joe impatiently, let's get going. They walked hurriedly down the drive and out into the silent street. It was a short walk in the moonlight across the paddocks and down to the riverbank where the boat was moored. Joe peered down to the water's edge where the weeping willows dipped down.
It's not there, he whispered urgently. The boat's not there.
He must have taken it over to the island, said Jane nervously.
He must be there now. I wonder who he is. Did he come over today just to get supplies? Jane wondered. We can't get across then, she said, disappointed.
Joe thought for a minute.
If we used Roger's raft, we could have it back by the morning and no one would ever know we borrowed it. He keeps it just up the bank a bit.
It will be difficult with this current, said Jane. He uses long poles to guide it.
It will be okay with the three of us. The river isn't very deep. Come on.
Joe went striding down the riverbank, while the girls followed hesitantly behind.
In just a moment, we will be back to find out who is on the island and why someone is living in the hut.
They found the raft pulled up under the bushes, and they each grabbed a pole off it and pushed it down into the water.
Careful how you step on, warned Joe. We don't want it to tip up.
As the island was downstream, they used the current to help them, and when they reached midstream, they found it harder to grip the river floor with the poles as the water was deeper. Fortunately, it had a shingle bottom, and every now and then they would give a good push against a rock.
What are we going to do when we get there? Whispered Jane nervously.
We'll creep up on him and see who he is and what he's up to, said Joe. They were silent as they concentrated on their task of pushing the raft along. The only sound was the river moving, and the children were afraid their voices would carry.
They took half an hour to reach Picnic Island. Then they quietly pulled the raft up into the undergrowth, where it could not be seen. Everything looked so different and eerie in the moonlight, and the children kept close to the shadows of the rocks as they moved up the beach to the bush. As they crept up the path to the hut, they could see a faint light shining through the window.
He's there, whispered Sarah.
They moved noiselessly round to the side of the hut. Then Joe edged his way round to the window where he could peer in.
Look, he mouthed to the others.
A man was sitting at the table, cutting slices off a loaf of bread. A candle was burning on the table, and there was steam rising from a pot on the little kerosene stove the children often used on their picnics. On the stretcher where he had pulled up the blankets, there was a brown leather bag, and above that, on the wall, was the shadow of his large, ominous profile, cast by the dim yellow light from the candle. Just then the man stood up and walked over to the stretcher. Picking up the leather bag, he took it over to the table, turning it upside down so that all the contents fell out.
What is it?
Whispered Jane.
Money, said Joe. Lots and lots of it. Look, he's going to count it all.
Do you think he stole it? Jane looked scared.
Probably, said Joe.
Sarah was trembling. What should we do? I wish I hadn't come.
We'll take the boat back to the mainland and go and notify the police. Come on, quick.
Joe headed back off down the path with the girls running along behind him.
Jane glanced back over her shoulder. Hey, look out. The candle's gone out. I think he's coming out.
They jumped back into the shadows.
Ow! Yelled Jane. In her fright, she tripped, banging her head on a tree trunk. Sarah made a grab to pull her back. But too late, the man had seen her and heard her yell. Who's that? He shouted. And suddenly,
Realizing that someone must have been watching him, he ran down the path towards him. "Quick! Run to the boat!" Joe hissed. They tried desperately to move in the shadows, but the undergrowth grabbed at them, so they had to come out onto the path and run as fast as they could to the beach, to the mooring pole. They jumped in the boat that the man had borrowed. But the rope was tied so securely, Joe couldn't undo it quickly. The man was right on them. He held onto the boat so they couldn't move away.
"What are you kids doing here?" he said gruffly. "I thought no one ever came to this island."
"This is our island. We often come here," stammered Joe.
"Not at night, you don't, kid. Get out of that boat."
They were so scared that they could hardly move, but the man pushed them roughly back up the beach and along the path to the hut.
"Sit on the floor," he ordered.
He took a ball of twine out of his bag.
"What are you going to do?" trembled Jane.
"I'm going to tie you nosy kids up, and by the time you've been found, I'll be miles away from here."
The children were too frightened to say anything, as the man swiftly tied them together and then bound the twine to the table legs. He then hurriedly stuffed all the money lying on the table into his bag and made for the door.
"Oh, no, you don't!"
A man's shape filled the doorway.
"Daddy! Daddy!" screamed Jane and Sarah.
Right beside him was Constable Holmes. He quickly grabbed hold of the man, clasped handcuffs on him. He stopped struggling when two more policemen appeared in the doorway.
"Are you all right?"
The children's father rushed over to them and started untying the twine.
"Yes, we are now, thank goodness," said Joe, weak with relief. "How did you know we were here?"
"Neil told us. He said you thought there was someone on the island and had probably come to catch him. Just as well he woke up and noticed you had gone. This man is dangerous. He escaped from prison 2 days ago and yesterday robbed a shop. You really were very foolish to come over here at night by yourselves, but you'll hear more of that once we get you safely back home."
"Come on then," said Constable Holmes.
He picked up the leather bag and began walking back down the path, dragging the prisoner along behind him. Mr. Moore shut the hut door and he and the children followed quickly. There was a police launch down by the mooring pole. The children's father untied the little boat that the prisoner had borrowed and hoisted the raft aboard as one of the policemen started the launch's motor.
"What about the raft?" Jane whispered to Joe.
"We'll get it another time," he said. "I'm sure Roger won't mind when we tell him why we took it." They all suddenly felt very weary, and Sarah began to cry.
"I just want to go home," she whispered.
"Well, you helped us catch our prisoner," said one of the policemen. "But I wish you had told us about it instead of trying to catch him by yourselves."
As they reached home, Mother was at the front door, so relieved to see them. She flung her arms round them all.
"Cups of hot chocolate to steady the nerves while you tell us your story," she said. "And then to bed. To stay."